Well, I know he had a presentation right before that. Also, he had a so I imagine that went right up to the wire.
I'm sure. Apparently, you have water.
Yes. Thank you. I brought you one, but if you're going to go camping out over there. You're more organized than I am. This time I actually didn't do this.
I find that always makes a difference, particularly if you put the contact information on the slide.
Yeah.
Then it can always follow.
Well, I usually do it, but I didn't.
I only assigned it for times, lots going on.
Yeah. Yeah, when I don't do this, there's definitely something wrong. So what's new with you up in Wisconsin? Life
just,
good?
Just a lot of good things. Our programs are going well. We are growing. We're not intending to, but the undergraduate program is really growing. 160 majors now.
My God.
In our capacity is one stretch. And so we have a new effort across campus called Growth, Quality, and Access. So we put in for more faculty.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yes. Here's just a sense of public health, community health, education, and it's all coming together.
Mm-hmm.
And the MPH program, very, very stable.
The best part. It's just wonderful.
They add so much.
Yeah, I absolutely adore it. I'm very grateful for it. Yeah, it's wonderful. How about the placement? You've always had an excellent placement rate. You still get the work when they graduate.
Yeah, we are traditionally at 96% or above. And then almost all MPH candidates employed after graduation, primarily because we emphasize part-time as well as full-time. And so some of the many of the part-time people have full-time positions in the school. So it's a nice balance.
No, they now have a new economic and workforce development center on our campus, and I'm starting a community health program or initiative within that, which is very exciting. Hi.
Welcome.
Oh my God, it's not you. Oh my God, how many years is this? Oh my God.
I just want to say hi. Hi. I sent you an email a few months ago saying that I might see you here. So I'm presenting tomorrow, so I got
to get here. This is so nice. What are you presenting on?
HIV surveillance.
Okay, you really got into that mouth, stop, and barrel, huh?
Well, no. Okay. I hopefully have an offer from the CDC, and I have another one, which is an HIV prevention, so that I'm excited about.
That is so cool.
I'm definitely going to get the CDC with one or two of these.
That's fantastic, and there are wonderful people down there.
Yeah.
I mean, you let me know when you're going, and something like that, we'll talk to you after,
remember, or something like that.
Give you some people to connect with.
Yeah.
And everything. Oh, this is so cool.
I know. But I just wanted to say hi. I'm not staying. I thought it would be your thing, and I'm going to sneak out to the HIV.
Oh,
and
you're
going to
see. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to. I'm just so glad to see you. I'm looking at him going, oh my God, it's you. I still got all the stuff from when we were in school together. I just got. Do you remember that was the class?
It was
a lot thing where I was yelling. Do you remember there was a plaque? I've got that hanging up in my office at my school now, which is just wonderful. And do you remember Cynthia Martin from our class? She came out in class, and she was sort of like sort of a Barbra Streisand type. She came over. But we stay in touch. There are a bunch of students. Tara Vincent was one. It's just the nicest thing when people say,
yeah.
I can't believe you looked and you came.
Oh, that's so cool.
And
you walked, nice.
It's really weird. I just can't decide whether I want to flip or fly. You know, short, long, I can't decide.
It looks nice.
Well, I'm just so strung out now that it's like, okay, whatever it is, it is.
How's your husband?
Remember, he's fine. He's wandering around, wondering how far away he can stay. We just see each other for dinner. Each evening, he has nothing to do with it.
Okay.
And your family, what's doing?
Well, I'm married. I was a Peace Corps, which you might remember, but I did Peace Corps for 2 years in DR.
Oh, my God. I didn't remember. I'll tell you the truth.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
We have so many students. So I did that, and then we got married, and now I have a son. So we live in Atlanta, and hopefully I'll get a federal rate. Great.
You
say?
Have you talked to federal employees lately? I mean,
well, I know. But I feel like once I get in there, I can do other things. Like the money will allow me to do more things than all shooting and stuff.
Excellent.
The state money's not that great. But I was just holding on to try to get the CDC.
Right. And now it looks like.
And you put me in touch with a Howell, I think.
How what's that?
I need to talk to him.
Okay. How do you remember that?
It was a dash. So
yeah.
I was going to talk to him. So I ended up looking at the prevention branch more. So
right.
I got some contacts there. So that's how.
You'll end up becoming a prevention specialist.
Yeah. It's a project officer who's in charge of the health department. So
that's
traveling.
What you would do?
Yeah.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
That would be so exciting. What you would know and share and connect.
Exactly. That makes me really excited to like share between phases and stuff.
And it's across the board. It's not just HIV, right?
No, it's just HIV.
You were just
started
there.
On prevention programs and disease and all that. Thank you.
Thank you, sweetheart. Okay. This is so nice.
Your niece was with you last year. Let me see.
God, you scare me. She's fine. Okay. She's fine. She said to become a nurse, and she went off to school, and she's happier than she's ever been her whole life.
Great.
All right.
Hello, dear.
Hello, dear.
What's going on here? We'll have fun here.
I am. Was hoping
the only thing is that we have to use the mic because it's recording. So we have to.
So
we've
got to stand still. Huh?
Yeah.
That's frustrating. Okay.
I'll show you the same thing. We have to be by the mic. Yeah. Because it's recording. So.
How are you? I haven't seen you since. Vancouver? Are you good?
Yes, I think Vancouver was last night.
Yeah, because you told me about the poncho and the missing it, and I never found it.
Didn't you really?
Really?
No.
Oh, sure.
How are you?
I'm good.
Fight the cold, but I'm good.
More vitamin C, more vitamin E.
And where do you work?
We're just in
the I'm stretched. I'm trying to do different things that interest me. I'm at community college and special projects. Workforce development, community health workers.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, because we have an associate's degree, so I want to bring people from, the community to come in and study and then help the community. But then if they want to actually get a degree too, I think it would be nice. Most people have certificate programs and try to make it into a degree. Because to me, it's the opposite. You've got a degree and I'm trying to back out of it. And create certificate programs that will then fit into that. So, we'll see. This was fun. This is me being a sneaky bitch. So, I'm going to the area because this was sort of bad. I did something I probably shouldn't have done.
Sure, go ahead.
I need to apologize in advance. So if you're interested in this and you have a card, just give it to me within 10 seconds of whatever. If you find it not interesting, fine. But I don't want to put this on tape for how fair you screwed up. So if you have a card and you're interested, this is us creating a 25 credit chin and eligible for.
Well, as Karen is collecting things, I'm a stickler for getting things started on time. And I was going to say Mickey Mouse, but it's not Mickey Mouse. It's actually a citizen. So my citizen said that it is 10:30, and so we're going to get started. We have two presentations this morning dealing with professional issues. But before we do that, I have to do the commercial. This particular session is sponsored by the School Health Education and Services section. We're a small section, but in the past year, we've almost doubled in size. So we're just at about 400 members. But we're looking for more. So whether you're a primary, if you're not a primary member of our section, you can join a second section and have full voting rights. And you can hold office for only $30. And you get our newsletter and all that stuff. So if you're interested in the kind of things that we do, if you're interested in the health of school, professional preparation, teachers, community school interactions, and so forth, please put your name and your email address on here, and you will be getting a little note from me. All right. I'm Larry Olson. I'm from Las Cruces, New Mexico, and I've served in APHA actually since 1965. You didn't know that. So I've been around this organization a little while. And the School Health Ed and Services section is a small section, but it's a noisy section. We do a lot of things. And we're after one thing, and that's healthy children. Because healthy children grow up to be healthy adults. It was kind of disheartening. I was just in a program where I was a co-presenter with Dr. Ken Cooper. And Ken Cooper of the Cooper Aerobics Institute. And some exciting things are happening in this whole area. But this morning we have two basic presentations. The first will be with Karen Bernard Goldman. And no, Karen, I won't tell them.
Thank you.
Okay.
I know
Karen and I have known each other a long time, and we've been on SOPI panels together and so forth. So Karen is a former president of the Society for Public Health Education. She is now a private consultant doing a lot of work, and she her presentation this morning deals with a 25-credit examination so that people keep their CHESS exams with 25 credits.
Yes.
I will turn this over to Karen. Karen, thank you.
Good morning. The reason that this presentation is in this section is because what happened was I'm basically going to tell you a story. And before I do that, let me just say I'm from a community college and I am still there, surprise. And I do have a little something on the side, which is a presentation that I gave over at the SOPI thing about how to have a business on the side while you have another main business. But I'm going to tell you the story about a number of people in the school system who were threatened with being fired unless they got licensed or certified within 2 years due to a change in the state rule. And so all these people that were working in a particular school had this threat hanging over their head, and we came up with a strategy for keeping them there. It didn't work 100%, but it represents an idea that I think would be interesting. Might I ask who's in the audience? Are you from schools, from universities? Where are people from? Just so I know who I'm talking to and can try to tailor it a little bit.
I'm at a university.
I'm sorry?
I'm at a university.
You're at a university. Okay, not going to say its name. Okay.
I'm at SUNY Cortland.
Oh, it's SUNY Cortland. Hi, Brooklyn, New York here. And? Oh, okay, good. And behind you?
Hi, I'm with the University of Arizona, as well as with a local public health department.
Excellent. And?
I'm from the Community Health Center.
Great. Oh, so your fan club is here, Gary. I see what's happening. Okay, and?
I'm from Austin Peay State
University. Okay. Sir, I recognize you from previous sessions.
Yes, Oklahoma State Department of Health.
Oklahoma State Department of Health. And? Okay, wonderful. I think this is going to be of interest because the program that I'm suggesting is a strategy, I think, for colleges and universities to bring in more cohorts of students, basically by recruiting people who have bachelor's degrees but not in health ed, but are very interested in sitting for the CHESS exam so that they can earn that credential. And so I'm going to tell you this story, and I hope you like it. I have worked on this project with a newfound friend, and you'll see why she's newfound as I tell you the story. I'm Shelley Hamill, and as you can see also, we're from those departments of health, phys ed, and recreation, which we thought were sort of fading away. They're not. So the disclosure thing is, you know, is there a financial relationship and stuff between this? There probably used to be because I did this as a consultant to my program, but I have transferred it to my college, the City University of New York, so that the program that I'm offering now comes out of there, this program called Checkup, which I'll tell you about, so I can't make a penny out of this now. Checkup is community health education and other collaborations at Kingsborough Community College for universal health promotion and disease prevention. We thought it was a cute name. We basically have a center for workforce and economic development there, and we're reaching out trying to enhance the public health and community health workforce. And so this just tells you a little bit about who we are and what we do. We're just getting off the ground, and I'm really interested in seeing where we go. I should basically tell you about our community college, that we have a 20-year-old community health degree program, which comes as a surprise to people across the country and across the street. It's a wonderful program where people get an associate's degree in community health, and we're in the process now of expanding the public health career ladder by teasing out some of our courses from the degree program to put them into a community health worker certificate program so that we can sort of expand the career ladder. And so we're going to be doing this through Checkup. We also have an annual conference we do to motivate people to step up and become leaders. It's called Finding Your Inner Leader Conference. And we've done this 3 times, and we're going to be doing it for the 4th time this coming June. And the purpose of that conference is to motivate people who are good at what they do, and they've been in community health and public health for a long time. They've never thought of themselves as leaders. And so we try to inspire them, explain what a leadership mindset is, and get them all excited about going forward. The story I'm going to tell you about is the story of this poor Brooklyn girl going down to South Carolina and the poor South Carolinians that had to deal with me. And it was an incredible experience, and I'm really looking forward to telling you about it. The program we're talking about was in Orangeburg. I don't know if anybody's been down there. It was a life experience for me, and I eat food I didn't even know existed before. Let me tell you about the situation. The population that I'm going to be talking to you about are youth specialists. They worked in teen pregnancy prevention programs in South Carolina, and they were all school-based. And basically the problem was that they had to certify or get fired. And so the solution that we proposed, based on the state requirement, which I will tell you about in more detail, was find some kind of a credential that you can get or get out. And so they had to find an appropriate credential, they had to qualify for it, and then they had to pass the exam. So that's in short sort of what happened. And it all happened because in 2001, there was a new human resources development policy that came into effect when the teen program went from a funder, which was the South Carolina Department of Social Services, got moved over for the Centers for Medicare system. And that changed everything because they had a definition of who a medical health care provider could be and what their credentials had to be. And so all of a sudden, these people who had been there for 5, 10, or more years had to find a credential or they were going to lose their job. They could be supervised by somebody with a credential. That was also possible, but the goal was to try to get them to become certified as well. So that's sort of the situation. This is the list in South Carolina of the credentials that would have been acceptable to the state for people to have. And it's an incredibly wide variety of credentials. What ended up happening is there was a coordinator from the school district, and she decided that the Certified Health Education Specialist credential was the most appropriate for teen, adolescent, pregnancy prevention people, which made sense. And as I'm sure you all know, that there are 2 ways that you get to qualify for taking the CHES exam. You either have a transcript that says that you have a degree in health education or some permutation of that, or you've got 25 or 37 quarter hours of coursework related to the areas of responsibility that are the framework of our profession. And it's interesting, I just found this out recently. I thought everybody was coming in with the transcript with health ed, but because our degrees are so diverse that actually the minority of them are coming in with just transcripts that are stamped health ed, but the majority of people are coming in with this combination of 25 credits from at the baccalaureate, master's, or doctoral degree. So it's the road I thought was less traveled. Turns out that it's not. So the goal was to figure out how within 2 years to see if we could get these youth specialists
to have the 25 credits that would make them eligible to prepare for, take, and pass the CHES exam. And here's the big difference that I missed. I'm going to tell you the story of this labor of love, and I'm basically going to tell you everything that I did wrong, because now I know how to do it right, and we know what we're doing. But it's like, you know, when a new car comes out, you don't buy that first year model. You wait. Let somebody else buy that car. You let them test it, see what's wrong, and then you go buy it the next year. What we intended to do was to have people take the full 9 courses, and I'll show you what those are. Instead, what ended up happening was people were trying to meet the 25-credit eligibility requirement, and as soon as they did, with whatever combination of courses were approved by NCHEC, they went to sit for the exam. And all of the courses that were not approved, all of the courses that were approved, I might argue, were less tailored to meet the competencies than the ones that we proposed here. So the partners involved, our school district, what was then my company, Winthrop University, which was the second school I called. The first school I called was very nervous about participating and doing this with the school district, and it took us a while to find a school that was willing to do the work that was involved, and of course the students. And basically, what I have these busy slides here, and again, if you'll give me your card, I'll be glad to give this to you if you're interested, because I think any college or university might want to consider doing this, because it's a wonderful way to meet the needs of anybody who has a bachelor's degree who wants to study health education without coming back for a second degree, or maybe having the bachelor's degree plus a post baccalaureate certificate when they graduate. So I think this is a great product for institutions of higher learning. But the point is that there's a great deal of work that needs to be done by all the players. And in this case, the lead agency was the school district that contacted me because they saw me on the NCHEC website and said, do you have an idea of what we can do? And I basically said, let me pull together this curriculum, see if I can find a college that we can work with down in South Carolina, and we'll see if we can make this happen. And if in 18 months we can get your people through this program, and I can't guarantee that they're going to pass. We can never do that. None of the colleges do. None of the CHES review providers promise anything, but we will do the best we can. And as you can see, the school district had a great many things to do throughout all this. Now, I also had a lot of things to do as a part of this project, and I have to confess that I didn't realize what they all were or how involved the vendor needed to be. Usually, the organizing body hires the vendor comes in and delivers the services, thank you very much, and goes. It's the typical definition of a consultant, the person who comes in, looks at your watch, and tells you what time it is. And that's kind of what I sort of naively thought at the beginning this was going to be, that I would bring in these courses. But first of all, I'm the kind of person that likes to get very involved in what's going on, and I wanted to know the students, I wanted to know this cohort, and see what was going on, and I wanted to work more closely with the faculty, but that became sort of a push-pull with the university, who's sort of in charge of the faculty that's going to be delivering these programs. And you'll see in the lessons learned what I have decided since then. But mostly I had to make sure that everything that got done would meet the requirements of NCHEC. Now, I want to be very clear here, because you will ask me to be very clear here. NCHEC does not pre-approve any kind of program. Whether it's mine, your universities, they don't do that. So that when a student submits a transcript, the people at NCHEC, they have reviewers who look at the transcript. Actually, I used to do this back in the year when they were first setting up, reviewing transcripts to see if people qualify. We look at the title. If we can't tell from the title, we ask to see a course description. If we can't figure it out from the course description, we ask to see the whole syllabus, and we try to make a determination if this course addresses the competencies. So one of the things we wanted to do was to make sure that there was no doubt, and one of the things that we then had to work with the school on was making sure that the transcript would read really clearly to the people at NCHEC. So we ended up changing some course titles, clarifying what was going on, just so that there would be no question. We went to work with Winthrop University, which is an accredited institution, and they have wonderful credentials. They didn't have a health education major. They had a minor in with phys ed for people who double majored. from back in the day. And so what they ended up doing, which was my responsibility to work with them, was on finding additional courses so that all together we had the nine. And the idea is that either we take existing courses and work through them to make sure that all the objectives are covered in those nine courses, or we take what they have, see what's missing, and then I design and I have the other courses, and I say either your faculty can teach it or I'll find you faculty to teach it. But basically the courses are made up, they're based on the competencies and the objectives. There's no sex, there's no drugs, there's no rock and roll, there's no stress, there's none of that. It's all based on the objectives and the competencies. And there's a course taught at the beginning, the usual sort of contemporary health issues, which gets interwoven and students can do projects on those. But it's not a matter of like taking a sexuality class and saying, how can we teach program planning within that? Every course is a specific skill. And again, they had enormous responsibilities at Winthrop, communicating with all the partners, getting the administration involved, putting this through. And I, again, given the time frame that we had, Winthrop really bent over backwards to make sure that they could bring in those experimental classes and get them on file. I guess you all do that when you're trying to do something new. You know, at Kingsborough, it's an 82-something, and you bring it in. It's a special topics, and that's how we got it all in. But they had to not only do that, they had to teach us about what the school requirements were, lay down the rules for us, make sure that the students qualified to go to their school, and again, because they are students, figure out a way to build a relationship from people. We did not go to school on campus. We went to school in the community, and the school district actually found us a place. And it was not a great place, but it was a place, and that's something else that we might change. Looked at faculty and had to figure out how to work with them. Some were from the school. Most were full-time faculty there. A couple were adjuncts. And then to teach courses that they were not prepared to teach, they hired me to either teach it myself or to find someone who could. And you'll see who I got. And nobody was more surprised to see who I got than I was. So it was really interesting. So some people were teaching courses they were used to teaching, but we had to negotiate that they had to meet the competencies and the objectives. And this threw a lot of people. They were very upset. They'd been doing it a certain way, and it was, no, you need to make these points. These principles need to be included. Otherwise, forget it. And again, for many people, I've seen now with the distance learning, many people are getting used to the speeded up curriculum. If you heard Kathy Rowe yesterday, in 5 weeks they do courses, and it's amazing. I find it an amazing thing. I don't know that I could learn this way, but people were willing to take this series, at least in theory, of nine courses over 18 months. Just amazing, okay? So let me tell you about the students and who they were. They were working for this MAPS program, and it's for all Medicaid youth who are at risk. They're in the schools. These youth specialists have been there for a long time. Their job is to improve access to quality family planning services, prevent unintended pregnancies, and help kids make responsible decisions about sexual activity. Again, none of these people were trained as health educators. I cannot tell you how upset that made me, just in general. On the other hand, even though they were in engineering or they were in some were in phys ed, some were in social work, some were in liberal arts, the variety of backgrounds was absolutely amazing. What made this work is that they all did the same work, because otherwise this never would have gotten off the ground, or it would have gotten off the ground and it would have crashed. So this is about the program. And basically, so who were these? Their job was to work with the teens. They were required to do 20 hours of family planning training, contact hours annually to keep up their expertise. But again, it tended to be on the content and not on the skills. And there was no theoretical base at all. They had never heard of a single theory at all. They conducted screenings of the kids and assessments. They did case planning. And they did one-on-one counseling, sort of motivational informal counseling and health education sessions with no training at all. And again, this is another reason why I'm so committed to this concept of a 25-credit program, because if people are going to be hired to do this and they're out there doing it, then I want them trained. I want them skilled. And again, at least minimal level, and then you keep going, and maybe some of these people would then continue with a master's degree. I think it's a great beginning. They came, the school that did this, the school district that did this, was very nice and reached out to a 90-mile radius, which meant that people were going to be commuting a lot. Now, they drive faster in South Carolina than we do in Brooklyn. But still, it was an hour and a half, 2 hours for a lot of people to get there. 12 men, 17 women, 28 were African-American. There was one Caucasian female. They ranged in age from 27 to 56, and that 27 was a really young 27. They all had bachelor's degrees, but nobody had it in health ed. They were all working full-time. Three were studying master's degree programs at the same time. So they were adding this to that, because that did not count toward the NCHEC qualifications. Their family and personal needs, I don't know if you've ever worked at a community college or if you had one of these urban commuter schools, then you have an idea of what it's like. They were juggling more stuff than I can even begin to think about. Okay. The amount of coursework was amazing. They came at the beginning, and I think they basically thought that if they sat there, like, through one of our sessions and lived through it, that they should pass. And I think we've all had students in school like that, right? What do you mean? I was here. No, I didn't buy the book. So I failed the exam, but I was here. You know, okay, fine. The other thing was, which, again, I didn't realize, and, again, more upfront planning, was that they had different eligibility qualifications. Some had up to 9 credits already that had been approved by NCHEC based on whatever education they had had before. And I had not reviewed their transcripts, which I would have done, and it would have been interesting to see, again, what they had. And now we have learned that you document, you collect everything. We did this more as a project than as a research project, and that was, I now know better. Okay. The program itself, the intervention, was an orientation, and they timed it in a way that I could not go because of a teaching commitment, and I wouldn't skip my classes because I'm pigheaded that way. So I did up a PowerPoint because I didn't know about all this other computer stuff. And so I sent a cute little PowerPoint with me talking to them, and somebody read it with a Brooklyn accent. They had fun with it. You know, it was sort of fun. And I told them I'd be coming down to do the theories class, which was the third class, laid out the whole program for them. And then, so basically between March 06 and August 07, which is an intense period of time, they took these courses, and again, I'll tell you how many they ended up actually taking. They had a state CHES review. I was going to do one, but the state had one. The state said, just let us do it because it'll be less expensive. And then we'll have the exam in October 07. Okay, so that was the plan. These are the courses. Now, the ones in X, with the X, the school did not have. Winthrop did not have this. All right, and one of the other responsibilities that I had was to review all the syllabi and make sure that we were going in the right direction and that all the competencies were covered. And unless you're a really incredibly detail-oriented person, this can be a real pain. But I have my own 8 or 9 that I keep, and then I went back and looked through theirs and made sure it worked, and where it had to be changed, it was changed. And I worked through, not the faculty, but I worked through the coordinator, Shelley Hamill, at Winthrop. All right? So you can see, again, there's no sex, there's no drugs, there's no nothing. It's the whole skill-based thing. And you could argue, why didn't we do it by the competencies? Just, you know, the responsibilities, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, we chose not to do it that way and thought it would work better this way. This is, the courses and the order in which they were taught. They were taught, I'm from Brooklyn, and I'm Jewish, okay. I don't have a problem having a class on a Sunday. You go down to South Carolina, you even talk about doing anything other than going to church on Sunday, you know, it's not acceptable. So our courses ended up being, and there was no time off from work because there was no backup for them within the system, which is kind of interesting in general. I mean, what if somebody's out who's there for the kids? But that's a universal problem. So what would happen is I would fly down Thursday night, Friday morning, get set up after work on Friday. So they would come, and from 4 o'clock until nine, we would study on Friday. Then if there was homework, they would do it, and then they would come and we would spend the entire day on Saturday. That's a lot of intensive work, especially after a full day of work, and they work hard. They work really, really hard. There's no support in the school. I don't mean no support. There's minimal support. There's minimal resources. They have to be as creative as possible, and there's a lot of tension. So sometimes we met the Friday night, Saturday. The faculty could have their choice, and you could meet every week, every other week, or every two, you know, you'd have 2 weeks in between and then do it. We had to do 37.5 hours to make Winthrop happy, and they had to meet face-to-face in the classroom at least 3 times. Otherwise, it was not acceptable to Winthrop. So you can see what we did. And on the side are the number of students that came. They would come and go. I thought there was going to be this cohort of 25 people that we would just run through 9 classes. How naive. How naive. This is the faculty. And if you look at number 6, I still can't believe he said yes. The goal was to make sure we offered the best possible classes. And I thought, who better than literally to invite the guy who wrote the book, James McKenzie. And I called him up and I said, you want to take a chance? And he said, yes. Then I came down and did the theories class, and then the rest of the faculty were either their full-time or adjunct people from Winthrop. Over time, we had a total of 29 people. We never got to all 9 courses. The curriculum and methods class was never offered. And it was because we literally ran out of time and the schools ran out of money, and it was sort of good. It's like when we didn't knowingly plan it that way, but what we were trying to figure out was like a newspaper article. You have your main headline first, and if you have to cut, you cut from the bottom. We wanted all 9. We thought all 9 were essential, but we didn't get to the field work. One person actually took a field work, and we didn't offer the curriculum classes. Halfway through, some of the districts ran out of money, and so their people disappeared. One student actually ended up paying out of pocket. Everybody else had the thing totally covered by their school. What an investment to get them through. That was amazing. The schools were incredible. They got time off to study. If they were having a staff development thing that went for a couple hours and then they were supposed to go back to the school, they were given time to work in study groups. The schools were incredible. The intervention, the first, quite frankly, CHES review did not work. The second one, they asked me to come down. I came down with a packet of stuff, made them do review sheets, gave them flashcards. They had 5 or 6 different exams to practice taking that I had done and other people had given me to use. And also what you need to know is that during this time, the sense of drama and trauma was just, you know, the pressure. If you don't pass, you're going to lose your job. It's a great incentive, but the fear thing was really rough. And people kept asking during the classes, this is really interesting, but is it on the exam? And nobody really likes to teach to the exam. You want to do what needs to be done. And then on top of it all, right before the 3rd class, right before I came down, we had a problem because the star of the class, Shelton, got killed in a motorcycle accident. And that was devastating. The day before I came down, that Friday night, that Friday day, they had been to Shelton's funeral. And I couldn't figure out what was going on, and nobody told me, and it was just, oh my God, this is the group. I mean, people were wrecked. The good thing was, the bonding was incredible, because it brought them together. 10 dropped out because schools just couldn't, you know, fund it, or they couldn't take it anymore. 2 went and got other jobs. They couldn't stand the ambiguity of not knowing what was going to happen to them. So they got jobs. We had one person who never intended to take the class. She was a supervisor, wanted to see what it was like. And one just never made the 25 credit minimum because we didn't offer the last 2 classes and what he had. And so anyway, here's sort of the results. And it's not outstanding, but it's interesting and it shows enormous potential. And I want to be really clear about that. In fall 07, one person who met the criteria right then took it. I'm sorry, 3 took it then. I have the 1. It's wrong. And only 1 person passed. Okay? Then later in October, after the other classes, 10 people took it, and nobody passed. That was really scary. Now, we had only, but again, they had this interesting combination of stuff. And then in 08, after more review had happened, and when I had come down to do the review, and we really worked hard at this, three passed. So, but the other thing that's interesting is look at the fail rates. They're not that bad. They're really not that bad. So, again, from a group of people struggling with a lot of issues, don't identify as health educators, never said this is the profession I wanted to be, it's kind of interesting. The results, if you look, we never had the 9 classes, we never had the 8 classes. The people who passed were the people who took the 7 and 6. And the other people, as you can see on the right from the number, a lot of people just tried to do less, or they thought they didn't have to take them all because the courses they had on their other transcripts were accepted as qualifying them, you know, to take the exam. So at least to me what this shows is that when you're taking and studying what you need to study, you stand a much better chance of passing the exam. Okay. All the transcripts eventually that were submitted to NCHEC were approved by NCHEC, which is great. Again, people took it before, when they met the 25 credits, they didn't wait until the end, and I think they would have done much better. I've gone over some of this with you. Let's see. I told you about the second CHES exam review, which I think was good. And we had an unintended consequence, which was James McKenzie had the students write a grant. There was a tremendous amount of work. Because if you notice the numbering on the courses, some were undergraduate and some were graduate. We worked with what the school had. The students were really pretty shocked at the amount of work they had to do. I think that all the people that took the program planning had to write a grant application. Three were accepted, but only one actually had the money allocated. But to me, that's a great testimonial. They now have grants that they can submit. So even if they didn't achieve one goal, they got something else done. And let me just go through the lessons learned. We doing okay? Okay. First of all, from an administrative point of view, when I'm going back and trying to recall what on earth happened, I needed, and we all needed to do much more data collection, not only on the students, who they were, and their opinions and attitudes towards taking this course. I mean, it should have been a research project. It shouldn't have just been, let's go out and do this. We needed to have defined the program as completion of the full certificate program, because without having done that, we only have the sense that we're going in the right direction. We needed to monitor the exam application submissions, the CHES exams, and the outcomes, because we needed to know how many people, we needed to see their transcripts and see what was being accepted. One of the things that we think we noticed, and again, we have to go back and check, is that when some people submitted 2 times, one guy actually submitted 3 times to take the test, things that weren't, there was no consistency between what was accepted the first, second, and third time. Okay, so that's a processing thing at NCHEC that we need to talk about. But by and large, NCHEC was so supportive. It was just really great. We needed to have provided advisement with them. We started to do distance learning work. We needed to have done more. But they needed advisement from us on when to take this. And just as in any college, the advisement is absolutely crucial. We needed to have made sure that the funding was going to be there and that there was going to be some kind of a backup. What we did do that we're really glad we did was we triaged the classes. So we said in these classes, certain objectives must be covered if they're taught there. Then they're reinforced in other classes and they're referred to in other classes so that there was this, not cross-training, but we made sure that things were repeated regularly. I would document everything. I think that, again, we had a very paraprofessional cohort. Looking forward, I would say if they did this well, quite frankly, I think if you got occupational therapists and people in allied health professions who know what they're going for and have a professional mentality, I think that this kind of a 25-credit program focusing specifically on health education would do really well. And we'd have to do more online. This group was not, we didn't because they were not literate in terms of the computer and they were terrified of it, but now I would absolutely insist on it. Again, there's certain things when working with the partners that we have to do more often and more thoroughly in order to make this work. and the faculty, we each came in and did our own thing, like adjuncts, which was a mistake. We needed team building. We needed to talk to each other. We needed to connect with each other before, during, after, and say, when you get this cohort, let me see who's coming, who's not coming. Oh, my goodness, why is this person not coming? Because they would pick any combination of courses to make their credit requirement, not necessarily what they needed, which was interesting. But we didn't know to talk about that as faculty. Again, I think this has great potential as a product, as a product, really. I would select the students with care, and I would care for the selected students very intensely. Document absolutely everything. Work as a team and not as hired hands. Keep an eye on the prize. To me, the idea of having more competent practitioners out there is worth whatever frustration this is, and I think we are going to work at the City University of New York to raise money to get administrators on board so we can do this correctly. It doesn't, you know, I'm not ready to turn into a commercial firm. I think that the college could run it better, and it coming out of a college would be a better way. And it just feels wonderful to feel like you are participating in such a workforce development initiative. So thank you very much.
We'll hold questions for Karen until the end.